to thee, our Father, and our God, we give glory and praise for the wonderful gifts of our lives to witness the first Sunday of year 2025. We thank you so much for seeing us through this past year. Thank you for your cares, your protection, your healing hands, your miracles, your signs and wonders that you stretched forth into our lives to prove that you are the Savior, you are the Redeemer, you are the Deliverer. You are the great, mighty warrior. No man can defeat you. Lord, in so many ways, you are the great healer, the great Jehovah Jireh. And all that you have been to us, we are so grateful. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you were to us this past year, you are still very much the same. And Lord, this gives us confidence that this year that we have entered into, we have not passed this way before. But all the minutes, the microsecond of each day, of each week, each month, and the entire year is known unto thee. Thank you for being that great, eternal, mighty, omni, science God that knows all things. We are grateful to you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, since the year began, you have proven yourself to us. You have granted us journey messages. You have provided for our needs. You have stretched your hands upon us for healing. You have given us your salvation. You have given us of your proof that you are with us. We are grateful. We have come to your house today again, Lord, as the journey of life continues, and as pilgrims and strangers of this earth, we come before you with all that we need to see through. Master, may you look upon us with grace and mercy this morning. Father, Lord, and bestow upon us all that we need, Lord, to be faithful, to be truthful, to be dedicated, to be committed, to be devoted, to be given completely over unto you, that nothing, Lord, will contend our lives with you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting Father. May you come mightily and swiftly, Lord Jesus, and come to our help. Lord Jesus, to the glory of your name, bless us abundantly today in all the services as we commit ourselves, our vessels all empty, presented before you, that you will fill us, O Lord. Let all the seekers of Holy Ghost baptism, Lord, may they be filled this morning and throughout the day. Father, Lord, may your hand of healing, Jehovah, quicken them power to quicken the weak bodies, to give strength and life to your people, to heal the sick, to take the sin to higher ground, to convince sinners, Father, and draw back sliders to yourself. Let the eternal work of ages, let everything that be done today bring glory to you and draw us closer to you. At the end of the day, we all rejoice that we have been in your presence. Give us a special blessing for the first Sunday of the year. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open a Bible to our usual scripture reading for the Sunday school. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read from verse 1 to the end. And then we'll read Revelation chapter 21. I read. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own laws, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. For the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us what, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the heart also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I count that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our Lord, our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, as written unto you, as also in all these epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, since ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You can please be seated while we turn to Revelation chapter 21. From verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I then saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Welcome you all to the first Sunday of the year 2025. May all the blessings of God, all the grace, all the mercies, and all who God is be our portion. God bless you. We continue with the lesson, the future hope of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. We've gone a little far into the sermon. On the last Sunday, we were speaking on the eighth day. We're speaking on the eighth day, beyond the seventh day. And that's beyond millennium, the events. So this morning, by the grace of God, I want us to focus on the events on the eighth day. Events on the eighth day. Praise be to God. Do you have your charts now? Okay. Let's have the two of them, if you have them together. So let's have the charts.
We'll modify it later.
As we have said before, we will label the first day. First day, Sunday. And may not be right now, but if you can do it. We know that in Genesis, when God started his creation, I don't want us to be confused. Because while I was studying, I was thinking that when we're talking about the eighth day, some people might not be able to comprehend what we're talking about. But we basically need revelation of what we are talking about. And so I want to go back this so that we can blend it this morning with the events that will take place on the eighth day. God created, started his creation on the first day of the week, which happens to be on Sunday. And it's not on a straight line, it's a continuity. And that is why we did not write 1, 2, 3, 4 on the straight line. It's an eternity thing. The concept of God is always eternity. God is not limited to time. In everything God designs, is eternity that he has in his mind. He only permitted time to express himself, to give himself a reason for existence. And when he has accomplished that, he pulled back time again and he blends to eternity. So God's primary, because he is eternal, he has no beginning of days, he has no ending of life. So that is why we represented the days of the week in this cycle. And the cycle has no beginning, has no end. Oh, you may say the first day of the week, God started on the first day. Yes, he has to create that time to make it work so. And so the first day God started creation, the second day he continued his creation, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. He completed what he was creating. He's got some plan and design. So he completed all his creation in 6 days. And it's not a coincidence for God. It is what he planned. So then on the seventh day, he blessed it and rested. Praise be to God. He rested. And ever since, God has been resting. On the eighth day, which is the first day, he didn't do anything. His rest, which started on the seventh day, continued on the eighth day. And that is eternal. That is representing eternity. Praise be to God. When God began his work, he had a focus and the things he wanted to accomplish. Praise be to God. Now Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. So we are looking at the events on the eighth day. So God rested. And he continued his rest. God's rest continues throughout.
After the seven, after the 6 days that he has created, then he rested the 7 days. And then his rest continues on the 8th day. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, I read, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works which God created and made." And also in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible gives us this understanding. Hebrews chapter 4, I have it already out here, so I'll be snappy with it. So because we have a target. Now, Father says, "For he spake in a certain place of the 7th day on this wise." "For he spake in a certain place of the 7th day on this wise, and God did rest the 7th day from all his works." Now, verse 10. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." God ceased from his works. He did not continue the following time. Because that rest is a symbol. And that was why God gave it as a commemoration to the children of Israel. And he told them to observe it. That's Sabbath for them. But Jesus Christ, when he came, he did not emphasize the seventh day as rest. He did not observe it. Because the time for the Sabbath period to cease in a way has come. And that was why in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he made a proclamation. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Which rest? So, this rest that he's talking about is not the Sabbath rest that is kept, that is being kept by the Hebrews, by the Jews, on the Sabbath day. This is not the rest. This rest that Jesus is promising, he knows already that is the rest for them. And they were accusing him because he did not observe it. He was doing this. He continued to do good. He will heal the sick. Oh, you say, "Brother Joshua, but you say Jesus is God. And you say he has ceased from his works. And here on the Sabbath, he healed the sick. He did this." That's not creation. There are scriptures written that he has come to fulfill, to give himself a reason for existence. That's not creation. Everything he has come in that form, like we said the previous Wednesday, the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ is to save his people and to destroy the works of the devil. So he came by that moment to fulfill a scripture which he wrote down by himself. So that's not, he's not creating things. He has ceased creating that. All the perversion of the devil is what he came back correcting. Praise be to God. So he gave the promise, "Then come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want you to underline that rest. That rest is not the type of rest that the children of Israel have. Because it's a rest for a day. And after their 7th day, on Sunday again, they will go back to their field, to their farm. They will continue to walk. But God's own was not like that. So God gave them that Sabbath as a commemoration of his. Because when God ended his own work, he didn't continue on Sunday again, which happened to be the first day. But the children of Israel, after finishing their Sabbath on the 7th day, then on Sunday morning, they will carry their cutlasses and hoes and whatever they use in the farm and take the animals to the field and continue their work. It was a routine. But here Jesus came in Matthew 11 saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." What type of labor? Not physical. Because the labor, the rest is to give, it's not for the body. The rest is promising here, it's not for the body. Praise be to God. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Oh, yeah. take my yoke
upon you.
My yoke. Not yoke of oxen. Not yoke of carrying load. Not yoke of making hills. Not yoke of farm work. Not yoke of work, of carpentry. Not yoke of any profession. Not that yoke. Take my yoke
upon you
and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest.
For what?
Your souls. So it's a rest for the soul that Jesus Christ came to promise. Not the rest that was a commemoration of God's rest given to the children of Israel, which was which they observed on Sabbath day, and they will continue. But here is the rest for the soul, because it is the soul that labors in sin. The soul labors in sin because of Adamic nature. Because of the fallen nature of man. The soul labors in sin. As the scripture has painted all those things. So Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and every day, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So he promised that there will be a rest unto the people of God. So Hebrews chapter 4 still, we read from verse 3 to 11. Let's all do that together. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. Whose rest? God's rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this world, and God did rest the seventh day from all this work. We read that one earlier. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So God's own rest is different from the rest of the Hebrews. Because he gave them Sabbath. Already they were observing the Sabbath. But he was not telling them that I will not allow them to enter into my rest because of their unbelief. What's rest? God's own type of rest. And in this place again, if it has entered into my rest, since therefore it remained that some must enter therein, that's into that rest. And they to whom it was first preached, enter not in because of unbelief. Unbelief in God's word. And those were the children of Israel. They did not enter into God's word. Again, verse 7. He limited the certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then will he not afterward have spoken of another day? He did not give them that rest. He promised it. Are we together? He promised it. In his further statement to the disciples, that was why he commanded them, tarry ye on the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's the rest that he was talking about. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into God's rest, that is God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Works, not physical works, but the rest for the soul that Jesus promised. When a man is given rest for the soul, he ceases from his sinful works. A man ceases from his sinful works. And that is what the prophet has been telling us all along, that the three processes that God takes this heart through is what is taking the inhabitant of the heart, the people that will live in that first square city, in that future home, on this heart. He said it's the same process. And the prophet said that After repentance,
justification, then sanctification, then Holy Ghost baptism. The prophet said, when the Holy Ghost baptism comes, it cleanses the man from the Adamic nature. All devils and evil spirits are destroyed from the life of that man. The man then becomes a free man. He stops the man ceases from that moment to struggle with sin. He ceases from his labor from that moment. And that man no longer goes to that Adamic nature because he's destroyed from him. The man now enters into that rest of God that continues, that never ceases. That's the rest that Jesus Christ promised there. For he that, verse 10, for he that has entered his rest, not his rest there, he's talking about God's rest.
If the message, every all the articles that relate to God, the pronouns, the nouns, and everything about God, they are capitalized. The initial, the first letter, you see. So here is because they didn't do that to the Bible. It will have been capital H. For he that is entered into capital H is, that's God. He that has entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works. That is, anyone who has entered into God's rest has ceased from his own works. Sinful works. The works that Adam's nature imposes on man. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise be to God.
We are talking about events on the eighth day,
and we are coming down.
Now, the prophet told us also that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ took place on the eighth day.
This rest that we are talking about is not the seventh day matter. The rest of God is not, it continues. He started it on the seventh day, which is a period of rest, and then he continues with it. He never, he ceased from his work, and he didn't go back to it any longer. Now in Matthew 28, verse 1 to 7, in the end of the Sabbath that began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers disheveled and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord laid. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he went before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, towards the first day of the week, which was Sunday, that's 8 days.
First day, second day, third day, fourth day, sixth day, fifth day, sixth day.
At 7 days, the Sabbath. But on the 8th day again, resurrection.
The prophet is talking, is pointing attention to every eternal thing is accomplished on the 8th day. So every son and daughter of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, they are not subject of time. As we are, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are eternal. As we are here, we are eternal. We are living in eternity. Potentially. The prophet said we have resurrected potentially. We have potentially resurrected. Why? Because resurrection is dwelling in us. That's the Holy Spirit.
The future home of the heavenly bridegroom, paragraph 224. For it was on the eighth day that the Lord raised from the dead There is your other convocation, the holiness. Not considering the Sabbath at all, or the Feast of the Tabernacles, Feast of this, and the Feast of the Pentecost.
Jesus raised from the dead for our justification on the eighth day.
After the seven Sabbath, or 7 days, seven church ages, Jesus raised from the dead. Look at the way he's presenting it, as if it's after the seven church ages.
No! You have to understand what he's saying, that he's talking about the seven days completely, and then coming back to the new day again.
That's the eighth day. Because God is entire. The prophet is making us to understand that the seven church ages, the first days, the first 7 days is a type of that. And there are so many things he said. He said after the Sabbath or 7 days, seven church ages, Jesus raised from the dead.
8 day.
Okay? Which is a holy convocation, see? Which is the first day. See? You are done pass through time and drop into eternity again. Not keeping of days and keeping of Sabbaths and new moons and things like that. But has passed. Change your form. Not annihilated. Glory. But pass from dead unto life eternal. Oh, what the Bible does teach us, see? Pass from one to another. Alright, past. The old Sabbath is past. Jesus raised on the eighth day. That was a solemn day, holy. And it wasn't a day, because a day, a time, I don't run out. That's eternity. But we are still in time. The problem is just telling us what the eighth day represents. The eighth day represents eternity. You see? He passed into eternity. You see, he swung right back to the first day again. Notice the eighth day. Jesus raised for justification the eternal king with the eternal kingdom to be baptized into eternal life. Not 7 days, had nothing to do with any of the days. Speaking of another eternal coming, speaking of an eternal time, the world that I'm speaking of. You see? And then the Holy Ghost fell on the eighth day. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen.
Now let's read here. Acts 2:38. Most of our time we may not be able to read that. We know the event that transpired there. Let me just read from verse 1 to 4.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a rushing, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise be to God. Now, in the future of 2:31,
and notice after 50 days or 7 Sabbath from there again, there come another holy convocation. What happened?
The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. On the eighth day.
Rather, eighth day.
The first of all said, on the eighth day. Or the eighth day.
Rather, eighth day. Fell on the eighth day. Was 7 Sabbaths later.
After the 7 Sabbath, which is 49 days.
And then the next day is the new day, which is the 50th day.
Pentecost. And then
that was the day. That's why we read it in Acts chapter 2, there, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost fell. It's the Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost. And on that day of Pentecost, the promise was the first day of the week, which is eighth day.
Praise be to God.
Was 7 Sabbath later, exactly after his resurrection, see? So it will be 7 times that again, bringing it back around the first day of the week again.
Exactly.
That is your holy convocation. Not having anything to do with literal things. You see, it's beyond that. It is into the kingdom of God with eternal life, with the predestinated that never did start. It never started on any day. You wasn't saved on any day. You are always saved.
I believe you we all know that.
We all came to recognize that. It's what God is a finished work.
That's what the prophet is saying. It's a finished work.
We only came here to recognize it in due time. You see? You are always saved. Amen. Jesus
Jesus just came to redeem that. But you were saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with.
You see? That's the seed of God in us. The seed of God. The prophet said the moment the child is born, something is sleeping to that child. With that child will come to later in life.
Praise be to God.
A trout fish can never be a jar or a tadpole. He might be in the same water with him, but he was from the beginning a trout. The net only caught him, see, but he was that from the beginning. Now, we are not out of dispensation, are we? We are not, we are right into the scripture. 50 days later it comes, see? It cannot be counted with the week. See, it cannot be counted. 8 days is in a week. You can't do it.
You cannot say that 8 days in a week. So that's why it's another day again. You come back to the first day, which is eternity.
Okay, in God's time, that's eternity.
Praise be to God.
See, it cannot be. You can't do it, see, because there are only 7 days in a week. It can't eat any way you want to. Sunday is the first day of the week. See, you can't seven, then you go back in and start over again. Can't seven, come back and go over again. See, and we live through all this typing here. But when you hit the eight, you go into eternity. You see, you don't come by laws and rituals and others. You come by predestination. Amen. There is a genuine holy convocation. See, and we are entering the seven churches, the Pentecostal age. Do you see it? We are entering that holy convocation. We are entering into that regenerate eternity where the church is called. Not to some station, some denomination, but into eternity with their eternal king. See, we don't have it at all.
The second bell?
Oh. We don't have it at all. No such a thing as days and things and times. You are passing to eternity. Where you come from, you are there to begin with. May the Lord be our head. And may give us revelation of these things. Let's bow down our heads.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning, the first Sunday of the year 2025. Thank you for bringing us together. You have promised in your blessed Holy Word that we are two or three to gather together in thy name, there you will be in the midst of them. We have been told, O God, that when you come into the midst of your people, you do not come as an onlooker. Neither do you come as a recording angel who come to desire the needs of your people and meet their needs. You that kept us last year in every aspect of the year. We are so grateful. We are so thankful. You change it not. We are looking unto you again this year that you will see us through again. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. You promise to be with us, even in us, until the end of the world. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Increase our faith. Take all belief from us, Lord. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Thank you for these deep teachings, O God, that you have brought again this morning, reminding us of the things that the seventh angel has presented unto us. Spiritual things are spiritually understood. We pray, God, that your spirit will give a breakdown to every one of us and assimilate these things. Hide them in our heart like yourself has said, a word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Thank you, our Father. Bless and replenish your servant that you are graciously used. And we look unto you, O God, for the coming two services left for further blessings of yours. Let all the glory and honor be ascribed to thy name for granting these petitions. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen.